नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are continuing the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 22, text, today text 21. Is it reading the Bible? Okay. This topic concerning Brahmaji, Bali Maharaj, surrendering to the Lord. He surrendered his life to the Lord. As we have been discussing over the last two or three chapters, that Bali Maharaj is a dear devotee, a great devotee of the Lord. He was is one of the Mahajan. There are 12 Mahajans. So Bali Maharaj is one of them. Yes, even though he had been born as a demon, he was in fact the king of the demons. Somehow he was able to capture the Lord within his heart, that he became a great devotee, that the Lord himself become captured by him, the Lord himself become conquered by him. Such is the great effect of those who have become the Lord's devotee. Of course, very, very interesting episode, very, very interesting chapter, because Bali Vamandev, he had come to beg 3 steps of land from Bali, and then as a result of that 3 steps of land, the Lord acquired the entire universe. So, of course, today also we have the three events, basically. It's Ganga Puja. There's the appearance of Ganga Mata Goswamini, and this appearance of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. So all those topics will be touched upon this morning, though we don't have so much time. That we see how much deliberation can be go on. So we read the text first, and then we can, some discussion can take place. Sri Bhamuvacha Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha Deva Deva Jaganmaya Manchayana Rita Savasvan Nayan Arati Nigraham. Sri Brahma Vacha, Lord Brahma said, Bhuta Bhavana, O Supreme Being, well-wisher of everyone, who can cause one to flourish? Bhuta Isha, O Master of everyone, Deva Deva, O worshipable deity of the demigods, Jagat Maya, O all-pervading one, Muncha, please release Enam, this poor Bali Maharaj. Rita Savashyan, now bereft of everything, I am such a poor man. Arati deserves Nikraham, punishment. Translation and purport by Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, Oh, all-pervading personality of Godhead. Now this man has been sufficiently punished. For you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. Purport. When Lord Brahma saw that Prahlad Maharaj and Vindhya Valley had already approached the Lord to ask mercy for Bali Maharaj, he joined them and recommended Bali Maharaj's release on the grounds of worldly calculations. Short purport. Gurave Guru Chandaya, Radhika Tadalaya, Krishna Yakrishna Bhaktaya, Tabataya Namo Namo, Ajana Timindasa, Ganagana Salakaya, Chakshu Tanganatasma, Sri Gurave Namo, Namamo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Kistaya Bhutale, Shunati Bhakti Viranta Ijinamini, Namaste Sasati Devi Gauravani Pracharini, Nivisa Sasunya Bhavi, Pastita Pustarini, Vanta Kapatru Desta, Kapasimu Vata, Pati Tanam Puna, Vivashtu Namo Namo. Shri Bhamo Vacha, Bhuta Bhavam Bhutesa, Deva Deva Jaganmaya, Manchaina Rita Savasan, Nayam Arati Nikraham. Lord Brahma said, O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished. You have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished anymore. So here, Lord Brahma is making a plea. He's basically begging the Lord to kindly release Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj had been arrested by the Lord and he was bound by the rope, by Varuni rope. Varuni rope is like a snake rope, whereby the person is tied up by a snake. And this kind of rope, you know, you cannot, once you are bound by it, you cannot be released by it. Very tight rope, snake. I've not seen it before. I don't know. I don't think any of us have seen it before. This Varuni rope, by which a person has been, you know, bound up. Have you seen Varuni rope before? Any of you have seen it? I doubt it. This is something that is common in the Vedic age, in the Vedic times. Not anymore. I don't think we have such snakes, kind of snakes anymore. But here. So Lord Brahma, he had addressed the Lord using four glorious words. He said the Lord is Bhuta Bhavan. So Bhuta Bhavan means that is the well-wisher of everyone. The Lord is everyone's well-wisher, which means the Lord, he has no object of favoritism. He has no one is his enemy. So no one is the Lord's enemy. That's why it's called Bhuta Bhavan. And why is he Bhuta Bhavan? Because he's Bhutesha. He is the Lord of everyone. He's the Lord of everyone. Yeah, so the Lord said, he said that all the living entities, they come from me. So everyone comes from that. So which means we may be talking of demigods, we may be talking of demons, whatever. But everyone comes from the Lord. So actually the Lord does not really make any distinction between who is a demon and who is a demigod. But however, if someone surrenders unto him, then the Lord takes special cognition. If someone surrenders unto him. Otherwise, the Lord is equal to everyone. He says, Samohan Sarabhuteshu, I am equal to all living entities. Correct. Now, of course, which means we find some kind of contradiction here. The Lord said, it's a Samoha Sarabhuteshu, is equal to everyone. But at the same time, he has a special affection for his devotee. He's called Bhakta Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala means especially, you know, he has a special, you know, inkling towards his devotee. Even though he is equal to everyone. So how do we reconcile this situation? Just like it's common in our materialistic, you know, relationship, that even though a person may have so many, many children, a father may have many, many children, and usually not all the children are good. Some children may turn out to be bad, while some children may be very, very dutiful, may be very, very affectionate towards the father. So obviously the father will have, even though to all the children is equal to everyone, but at the same time also, for those children who pay special attention to serve the father, so the father will have, you know, special affection for this kind of children. So it is a common thing. So the Lord is equal to everyone, but at the same time, when someone becomes his devotees, then the Lord have special affection for such persons. But at the same time, from time to time, those who are maybe have demonic propensities, so they also become devotees. So which means everyone is welcome to become devotees. No one is barred from being calm within the affectionate glance of the Supreme Lord. So everyone has the privilege. Actually, in the beginning of the narration of Jayavijay, when Jayavijay were after they were caused by the Kumaras that they should take birth in the material world. So because Jayavijay, they were the Lord's devotee, you know, they are the Lord's God in the spiritual world. So the Jayavijay, they were given the option to either take birth in the material world 7 times as devotee or 3 times as demon. So they were given you go to the material world because the Kumaras, they also my devotee and you also my devotee, but you know, one devotee has cost another devotee. So you have a choice, you go to the material world either 3 lifetimes as a demon or 7 lifetimes as a devotee. So which one will you choose? So Jayavijay, they say, because, you know, nobody wants to be in the material world for too long. They say, no, we would rather choose to become a demon for 3 lifetimes. We would rather choose that. And of course, you know, there's also a reason behind that, because the Lord, he had a desire to fight. The Lord wants to amuse himself. He wants to fight. But devotees, they are just not in that mood of wanting to fight with the Lord. After all, the Lord is the Supreme Master. The Lord is Supreme Majesty. In Vaikuntha world, everyone render service to the Lord. So no one will have any such inclination. Okay, the Lord wants to fight. Who's going to fight with him? But these two devotees, they actually pray to the Lord. They say, our dear Lord, please grant us a wish to fulfill your desire of being wanting to fight. So therefore, this opportunity was given for them to become demons in 3 lifetimes. So therefore they become Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakan and Ravana, and then Shishupala and Dantavakra. And in all those 3 lifetimes, they were tough demons, and then they were able to fulfill the desires of the Lord. Now, the Bali Maharaj, of course, is a descendant of Hiranyakashipu, because he was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So we heard so many stories already that Bali Maharaj, many fights, and then the Lord came after he occupied the throne of the demigods. So the Lord came to come to beg for charity. So in Gita Govinda, Srila Jayadeva Goswami, he had composed a Dasavatara Stotra, whereby he actually praised this act of the Lord. Chalayasi vikramane balim adutabamana padanaka nita janita janapavana keshavadrita vamanarupa jai jagadishare jai jagadishare jai jagadishare. So the Lord, he had come, the all location, but he had come, Jagadish means the Lord of the universe. So the Lord, he assumed the form of a dwarf brahmana, Vaman means dwarf. So this form of the Lord is being glorified. So the Lord, the devotees, they are offering praise to the Lord. They are, my dear Lord, all glories unto you, that you have assumed this form of Vaman, and you have taken three steps of land. You have taken three massive steps of land just to deceive King Bali. You came on the pretext of a beggar, but to actually deceive him, you actually cheated Bali by occupying the whole universe with the three steps of land. However, by taking these steps of land, it's a padanaka nira janita janapavan. By taking these three steps of land, what has the Lord done? The Lord, with his foot, he brought the water of Ganga from the spiritual world. And this water, because it's not an ordinary water, is called Janapavan, Janita Janapavan, that this water actually purified the entire world. So therefore we are celebrating Ganga Puja. Ganga Mata Ki. So celebrating Ganga Puja. Ganga is not an ordinary river. This is a river that is coming from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is the river, the water of the Gabodaka water. So this water washed the lotus feet of the Lord, and by this it became the most sanctified river. The most sanctified. So anyone who is touched by this water, it become purified of all sins. Anybody who is touched by it. Anyone who is touched by Ganga become purified of all sins. One become liberated from the materialistic existence. So this is a special mercy of the Lord himself that he has done. This is the Lord's own special mercy that he has actually bestowed upon the living entities in this material world. That yes, you can purify yourself, you can be free from the ocean of materialistic existence if you simply take bath in the waters of the Ganges. So therefore the sages, they will travel from all over just to take bath in the Ganges. So this is the situation here. So the law, the one thing is that it's not that the Lord simply punished Bali Maharaj for his how did the Lord punish Bali Maharaj? Because Bali Maharaj had promised three steps of land. So he promised three steps of land, but he was unable to fulfill it, because by two steps of land the Lord covered the whole universe. By two steps of land, he covered everywhere, everything, he covered all the three planetary systems. So where he's going to put his third steps? So Bali Maharaj, he was actually kind of, he was lamenting. So my dear Lord, I have made a promise of giving you three steps of land, but now I'm unable to fulfill it. And this is not good. You know, when somebody promised something, you're unable to fulfill it. This is actually against Dharma. This is against the religious principle. This is not good. So therefore, my dear Lord, the only thing I have left is my head. So you can kindly
placed your foot on my head. This all I have left. So therefore the Lord placed his foot on the head of Bali Maharaj. I mean, when the Lord placed, if anybody is that fortunate to receive the Lord's foot on his head, this is the greatest benediction that anyone can have. So even though it appears that Bali was getting punishment by the Lord, but actually Bali was getting the greatest benediction from the Lord. He was getting the greatest blessing because he was able to receive the Lord's lotus feet on his own head. This is not ordinary. It's not ordinary thing that anyone will get the Lord's foot on their head. It's just not possible. So, because Bali, he was sent to a special planet. He was sent to Elis planet, Sutala Loka. But this particular planet, by which Bali was sent to, this planet is actually much more glorious than the heavenly planet. It's like an extension of Vaikuntha. So even though the Lord said, but the Lord told Bali that now you're going to go to hell because you did not fulfill the promise which you have made. But Bali was sent to hell, but it's not really hell. It was a place that is even much more glorious than the heavenly planet. And not just that, the Lord said, now I am going to guide this place. I'm going to be the guard of this place. So in one sense, the Lord said, I'm going to be the guard of this place so that you'll not be able to escape. But actually the Lord, he became Bali Maharaj's security guard. He was guarding Bali Maharaj so that no one will come and attack Bali. So as it's been explained, that that Bali was sent to this Sutala Loka, and the Lord himself was guarding this place so that Bali will face no disturbance. So in one sense, Bali, he actually captured the Lord himself. He actually captured the Lord. Not that the Lord captured him, not that the Lord punished him, but he actually captured the Lord himself. Because he was able to capture the Lord because Bali became a very great devotee of the Lord. By virtue of his surrendering, he became the most sincere devotee, the most surrendered devotee. So the Lord himself became conquered by his love. So the Lord was guiding in a Bali. So there was a narration in the Purana that one time the rishis, the great sages, they were being harassed by demonic elements. They were being harassed by the demonic element. So they wanted to, so they went to visit Vamandev. They went to visit him to come and give them protection. So they went to Sutala Loka. All the rishis headed by Dwas money, many rishis like that. So they went to Sutala Loka and prayed to Bali Maharaj, to Vamandev to come and give them protection. So the Lord replied to them. He said, look, I have no independence. I cannot do anything to come and give you protection. If you want me to come and protect you, then you should ask the permission of Bali. If he gives his permission, then I will come and give you protection. If he gives his permission. So all they say is they went to Bali Maharaj. They asked him that, look, we are having a problem here. And only the Lord can protect us. So allow Vamandev to come and give us protection. So allow the Lord to come. So Bali Maharaj, he replied to them. He said, no. He said, Ya Bhavyantra Bhavante, Ya Janasi Tatakuru, Brahma Rudradi Nantan Nayan Chakshi Padadvayan. He said, let whatever you intend come about. Whatever you have in mind, please do that. But I shall never give up the 2 feet at which Brahma, Rudra, and all other demigods bow down. So basically, he said, these 2 feet of the Lord, this is my only possession. I can never give up these 2 feet of the Lord.
So therefore, I deny your request. So this is Balis Maharaj's position. Because this lost feet, this is his possession. This is my possession. You see. So in this way, Balis Maharaj is very, very dear to the Lord. So I have to speak on the two Vaishnavas by which we have appearance and disappearance today. One is Gangamata Goswamini, and the other one is Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. So Gangamata Goswamini, Baladev Vidyabhushan, these are two great Vaishnavas in our lineage, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And it's very, very important that we always have to observe the Vaishnava titis, their appearance and disappearance. It's actually within the regulated principles that they must be observed. When the Vaishnava made their appearance, we have to glorify them. We have to remember their contribution. When they make their disappearance, the same must be done. Because by doing so, it enables us to develop bhakti. So today, Gangamata Goswamini, this is the day of her appearance. Gangamata Goswamini was one of the three or four Vaishnavi gurus in our Gaudiya Vaishnav lineage. We have three ladies who are like prominent Vaishnav gurus. We have Janavi Mata, we have Emalata Goswamini, and then there is Emalata Thakurani, and then there is Gangamata Goswamini. These are they are very prominent Vaishnavi gurus. The Gangamata Goswamini, she was, her earlier name was Sachidevi. She was born as a princess in a city in the present day Bangladesh, in a place called Putia. She was born there and her name was Sachidevi. But right from her childhood, she was a devotee. She was very, very attracted to the service of the Lord right from her childhood. So at a very, very young age, even though she was a princess, very beautiful princess, but at a very, very young age, she came to Vrindavan. She came to Vrindavan to take shelter of a Vaishnava sadhu. So that time, there was a great sadhu, and his name is Haridas Pandit. Haridas Pandit is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the other devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sachidevi, she came to Vrindavan, and then she seek the shelter of Haridas Pandit. She wanted to be initiated by him. But Haridas Pandit, seeing that she was a princess, and also very, very attractive, you know, young lady. So he basically refused to initiate her. He said, no, I'm not going to initiate you. But Sachidevi, she was very, very intent of receiving Vaishnava Diksha. So she was performing a lot of austerities, you know, living very simply, and living with another elderly Mataji. Living a very, very simple life. So after some time, she got the attention of Haridas Pandit, and then because when he saw her dedication, austerity, so he decided to initiate her. So he gave her both Vaishnava, he gave her the Vaishnava Diksha. And then she became very, very highly scholarly, very, very highly scholarly, that she actually became a great Bhagavad preacher. She was a very great Bhagavad preacher. So seeing her scholarship, her scholarly, and the way she preaches, her guru, Haridas Pandit, decided to send her to Jagannath Puri. And before she went, he also gave her Kshetra Sanyas. Kshetra Sanyas means she's going to go to Puri and she will never leave that place. She will always be that place. So following the instruction of her guru, she went to Jagannath Puri, and then She was preaching Bhagavatam. She became a very great preacher of
Bhagavatam.
So much so that she attracted the attention of the king of Puri that time. So the king of Puri was very, very much impressed by her, that he gave her all the facilities. He gave her all the facilities where to preach and to stay, like piece of land and everything like that. So there was one time, some of our followers, they wanted to go to Varuni Ganga. It's a place, it's somewhere near Bengal. So they wanted to go there to take bath there. So they requested her to follow them. So they requested her to follow them, but she had taken the Kshetra Sannyas, which means she cannot leave the place of pilgrimage because she has taken Sannyas, the Kshetra Sannyas. She cannot leave the place. Even though she wanted to go, but this she could not go. And then in the night, Ganga Devi actually appeared to her, telling her that you do not have to go, but I will make my appearance here in Puri, so that you'll be able to take bath in my water. So one midnight, she went to Sweta, there's a pond which is not far from the Puri temple. This pond was known as Sweta Varaha. Sweta Vahan. That's the name of this pond. So in midnight she was taking bath in this water, and as she was taking bath, Ganga suddenly came. Ganga Devi suddenly came. And then with a strong wave, she took her to inside the Jagannath temple. Inside the Jagannath temple, she took her inside the Jagannath temple with a strong wave. But that time, Jagannath temple, normally in the night, normally the temples are locked. The temples are locked with the three locks. And this is described in the Sri Kshetra, how the Jagannath temple, the gate are locked with the three padlocks. So which means once it's locked, nobody can get inside. So the gates are locked, but in the meanwhile, so in the morning, when the pujaris, when they came to open the gate, to open the door of the temple, so after they open the door, they find Ganga, they find Sachidevi, they find her inside the temple. So they were surprised that she was inside the temple. They were surprised that how did she get inside the temple? How did she get inside there? That maybe she must have been hiding herself in the daytime so that she could steal some valuable ornaments, some valuable jewelries of the deity. So they decided to arrest her. So she was arrested by the pujaris, and they put her in a detention room. So in the daytime, the pujaris, the boga was prepared to offer to Jagannath. So normally before the boga is prepared to offer to Jagannath, the pujaris, they have to make some achanan. They have to make some achanan. And during this achanan, as they are making achanan, they were supposed to see the reflection of the deity during the making of the achanan. But when they were making this achanan, they could not see the Lord's reflection. So they figured that maybe the Lord must be very angry or something. The Lord must be upset. So they could not see the Lord. So they decided to throw away this boga which they prepared. And then they made another preparation. So when they make another preparation, the same thing happened. They could not see the Lord. They could not see the Lord within the achanan. So they petitioned the king and narrated to the king what's been happening, that the Lord is upset, there's something happening here. So the king of Puri that time, so he came, he decided to fast, that he wanted to know what has happened, so he decided to fast until he get the answer. So as the king was fasting, so there was a voice, there was an aerial voice that came, that my dear devotee had been unfairly arrested.
So my dear devotee has been arrested, and until this is corrected, I will not accept the offering until this is corrected. So devotees, the pujaris, the king, so they realize what they have done. So Ganga Mata was Sachidevi. So she was released from the And then Jagannath told them that in order for him to be pleased, all of them must become her disciple. All of them must become her disciples. Unless that, he said, the king himself and all the pandas, all the pujaris, they must become her disciple. Otherwise, my anger will not subsidize. This is the direct order from Jagannath himself. So all the kings and all the pandas, they went to Sachidevi that this is the order of Jagannath, that we must become your disciple. So you should give us initiation to become your disciples. So Sachidevi, she was very surprised. She said, no, all of you, I've come here. All of you, I look at all of you as my guru. So how can I be your guru? I look at you as my teacher guru. How can I be your guru? But this is the order of Jagannath. Now, so Jagannath himself, he appeared before Sachidevi and actually commanded her to become the guru, to initiate the king of Orisha and also all the pujaris, all the pandas. So based on the order of Jagannath, so she gave all of them initiation. So in this way, the saintliness of Ganga Mata was established. At that time, so she became known as Ganga Mata Goswamini, and the pond became known as Sweta Ganga. So if you go to Puri, you can go to Sweta Ganga, which is not far from the Jagannath temple. So this is the summary, of our life story. And of course, today is the disappearance of Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan, who you all know, is known as the Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya. He's a great Acharya in our line. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was originally born in Orisha. So he was born in Orisha, and then he began to study the Vedic scriptures, the Bhagavatam, the Puranas, the Upanishads. He was studying everything. And then he went to South India, to Karnataka, continuing his study. So he became a very great scholar. Great scholar. And then, after studying some time in Mysore, South India, he went to Vrindavan. From there, he took shelter of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Pad. And he accepted Srila Vishnu Chakravarti as his Siksha Guru. So he studied under him. He studied all the Bhakti Sastra, all the Bhakti scriptures under Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Pad. Now, there was events that was happening in Jaipur. Because that time, about 100 years prior to that, all the Vrindavan deities, they've all been transferred to Jaipur, especially Govindaji, Madan Moha, Gopinath. They all stay in Jaipur. So that time, the Ramanuja Sampradayas, they were saying that the Gaudiya Sampradaya, that they are not a proper Sampradaya. So they cannot worship Govindaji. They are not a proper Sampradaya. Why? Because at that time, the Gaudiyas, they don't have commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra. No commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And because, in order to be recognized as a proper Sampradaya, then your Sampradaya must have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So this was the argument. And this argument was related to Vrindavan. At that time, so Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, he was very, very close to the king of Jaipur. So the king of Jaipur, he requested Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Pad to come and address the situation. However, at that time, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti was very, very old at that time. He was more than 100 years old. So he still could not go. However, he sent his student. His student was Baladev Vidyabhushan. He sent him to go and address the situation.
So Baladev Vidyaprabhu's son, so he went there with his sound logic, with his sound scriptural argument. He was able to defeat all the pandits of all this, Ramanuja Sampradaya, Vallabh Sampradaya, all the other Sampradaya. He was able to defeat all of them with sound logic. However, they gave me a challenge. They said, but your Sampradaya do not have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So how can you prove yourself to be authentic? How can you prove yourself to be authentic when you don't have when your Sampradaya do not have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra? But we all know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not write a commentary, nor did he instruct any of his followers to write commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Why? Because the Bhagavatam is known as the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra. So because Srimad Bhagavatam is already a natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra, and it was written by Srila Vyasadeva himself. Because Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled the Vedic scriptures. He wrote the Vedanta Sutra, and he also wrote the natural commentary in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Mahaprabhu did not see any need to write any other commentary. So he did not write commentary, nor did he instruct any of his followers to write commentary. So this was the situation here. However, in order to address the challenge given by this member of this Sampradaya, he said, okay, I will produce a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So just as Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, just as he prayed to Madan Mohan in Vrindavan before he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and his prayer, in answer to his prayer, the garland of the deity fell down, and this garland was put on the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So similarly, Baladev Vidyaprabhu's son, he prayed to Govindaji that if you so desire, you can allow me to write a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So as Baladev Vidyaprabhu's son, as he prayed this way, so the Lord's garland fell on him also. The Lord's garland fell down. And the Lord said, the Lord instructed Baladev that I'm going to guide you to write this commentary. I will guide you to write the commentary. So within a period of 1 month, a matter of few days, this commentary was written. It's called Govinda Bhashya. And this commentary, Govinda Bhashya, it contained the topmost analysis, topmost wisdom, topmost Vedic scripture, the topmost analysis of the Vedanta Sutra. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they were able to produce this commentary in the form of a Govinda Bhashya, which was composed, written by Srila Baladev Vidyaprabhu. So in this way, the Vaishnav, they are full of mercy, and that if we want to get the mercy of the Lord, then we should take shelter of the Vaishnav. The Vaishnav shelter is always needed. There is a prayer by Srila Raghunandas Goswami, which he had composed in his Sava Valley. So he said, Patistasa, Distasa Pacharamani Mary United, Katan Sadu Prema, Sipshati Suchi Etan, Nano Manaha, Saratan Seva Sha Prabhu Daita, Samantan Atulam, Yata Tanika, Niska Shatwaritan, Yatan Vesayati Saha. Oh, mind, he had addressing his mind. How can pure love appear in my heart as long as a shameless duck-eating outcast woman of the desire for prestige is audaciously dancing there? Therefore, always remember and serve the immeasurably powerful commanders of the army of Sri Krishna, the beloved devotees of the Lord. They will at once banish this outcast woman and initiate the flow of immaculate Braja Prem in your heart. So,
The quality of false prestige, which we always imbibe in, that the false prestige quality, which is compared to an alcohol, this false prestige quality can actually vanish if we take the shirt of the Vaishnava. Because the great Vaishnava, they are called the commanders of Sri Krishna army. If we take shirt of them, then this bad qualities can be eliminated. So therefore, on a day like this, we take shirt of the Vaishnavas, their remembrance, their appearance and their disappearance. We take shirt of them and we seek their blessing. So I'm going to stop here. So we can take to this day to read some of these pastimes, the idea in the book. Hare Krishna. Yeah, somebody want to ask a question.
Thank you for your class. I kind of
She was actually taken to the temple by Ganga Devi herself. She didn't go to the temple, but she was taken because she was in the Sweta Ganga, Sweta Baraha outside. She was bathing in the pond. But midnight, if Ganga Devi came with a big force and took her into the temple. Okay. So she was, you know, a great devotee, obviously. You know. So we have such great bhaktas in our line. The Vaishnavas are very, very powerful, and these are some of their characteristics. Okay. So any other points, question, comments? Anyway, thank you very much for attending. I mean, it's very hot. So Grand Trashman Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ganga Mata Goswami ki, Shri Baladevi Devi Abhisar ki, Shri Ganga Puja ki.